I'll be talking about Bitcoin versus Arinfast Earn, and with analysis, randomness, balance, and power. This is very brief outline about what I want to talk. So I want to talk about first why we want randomness, why we want balance. I will give you the criteria for randomness and balance. And then I will introduce two designs and try to discuss their properties, analyze their properties. And the first one I call Bitcoin design with imbalance tolerance. I just call BCDWIT. And the second design is by two physicists, 1971, back to 1971, Paul and Tatiana Arinfast. Okay, so that's actually the model in physics called Arinfast and model. And then I will spend most of the time to analyze them and their different properties. So do feel free to stop me if you have any questions. Okay, so. So here is my assumption for my design. And for the situations where the data are not adapted to response, okay, so sometimes you want to assign machine one to do something, machine two to do something. You just try to count how many times they were assigned. Okay, so basically, you are not adapted your allocation based on the responses. And sometimes instantaneous responses are not available, or a long delay in reporting responses might occur. So you have to assign the next treatment right away. And what do you want to do? So in this case, a design is a well-defined rule which specifies how each treatment is assigned in the future given the current allocation status. And so this is pretty narrowed setup here. Concerns about a design and randomness. We don't want to know in advance which treatment will be assigned next. Okay, so that's not a very good thing to have sometimes. And balance, and sometimes we want nearly equal number of allocations of each treatment. Okay, that's some nice property we want to have. And definitely we want to talk about the trade-off between balance and randomness. And in clinical trials, and we want to have a design that does have a good power for detecting treatment effects. So why randomness? People in less random design are more capable of predicting which element will be chosen and may consciously or unconsciously choose an element or a treatment favoring their expectation. So randomization will reduce the bias, and the data you gather will provide a valid basis for statistic inferences. Why balance? In the first one, I just put two points, one is by source and rule. And imbalance might affect efficiency of statistical inference procedures. Okay. So let me give you one small example. So you might use a t statistic to perform a test, and here you have the realized allocations and the realized sample size N1 N2 depends on the randomization. So you have different allocation, you might have different statistics. Okay. So you might that might I will give you more concrete examples toward the end of the talk. Okay. And another point made by Shapiro and Lewis, and many policymakers are not happy to see a bodily disproportional group to treatment. Okay? Sometimes they don't want to see that. So I'm going to introduce notation used in this talk. This xn sub I go from 1 to 2 mean 2 treatments. The number of times the I treatment is assigned up to time n. Okay? And this delta n is the net difference. Okay? So I put this here in case you see that later again. So that's net difference. Okay? And if I take the absolute value, that's the absolute difference here. Okay? So in case you want to see that later. And this pi sub n I is the probability the I treatment would be assigned at time n. And so this sequence of probability vector determines the statistical design. So, and we hope this probability vector will be adapted based on the allocation status. At each status, you might have a different probability of assigning next treatment. So let's look at the simple random sampling. So under simple random sampling, this just 50-50% of the time. Okay. And it does have the attractive property that of complete randomization. So it's free of any selection bias. But it does suffer from the disadvantage of imbalance in two senses. In the short run, there's a very high probability of large differences between treatment assignment. So if you have a very small trial, and if hopeful more balanced, if you try pure random, you might get sometimes it's likely to get very disproportionate groups. Okay. In the long run, the difference grows at the rate of the square root of the number of assignments. So if you think this is the aggregation of IID, positive one, negative one, and you see this normalized by root n would converge to standard normal 0,1. So a more balanced design will have a very different distribution for this different process, And it could be this difference, a more balanced design might have this difference process that grows at slow rate than root of n. Okay. It might converge. Okay. Or if the normality does hold, maybe the variance of the asymptotical distribution is smaller. Okay. So in those senses, that might get a more balanced design. Have any questions so far? Okay. So what would be a criterion for balance, for imbalance? Okay. So you take this absolute difference, okay, and try to find the expected value at each time, and add them up, divide by n up to time n. So I call this average imbalance. Okay, average imbalance. And under simple random sampling, this quantity grow up like root n. Okay, so it's same as this n. Okay. I think later on you will see I'm using this delta. Okay, I'm talking about imbalance. I'm talking about imbalance delta there. And here is the criterion for randomness. Okay. And that's due to Blackwell and Hodges back in 1957. Okay. I modified their definition a little bit. I think they call selection bias without taking off this n over 2, okay, without taking off this n over 2. And but I just define excess selection bias. What is the excess selection bias of a design? It is defined to be the expected number of optimally correct guesses minus 1/2 at each single step. So I think I'm talking about two treatments. And the following quantity, if you look at this quantity, this is the probability of allocating treatment at time k. The best you can do is can guess the treatment with the higher probability, with higher probability. So the maxima of these two quantity, kind of a measure of bias, of selection bias. But for simple random sampling, these two numbers are both 1/2, 1/2. Okay. So I'm taking this number minus 1/2. I'm adding them up from 1 through n. So I'm taking off n over 2 from this quantity. Okay. So I call this the total excess selection bias of the design, represented by this rule up to time n. Why do I call selection bias?
I'm wondering, what would you call, what excess selection bias to me means, bias already means sort of the excess.
Okay. I guess I might be using bad wording here. As what I'm saying is the difference, right? Just the difference from this. If you do take the simple random sampling design, you can see this is 1/2, 1/2. And then the maxima will be 1/2, add them up, divide by n, then minus 1/2 will be 0. So for the simple random sampling design, there's no bias. There's no excess selection bias. And that's what that means.
What is the expectation with respect to here?
The expectation is taken with respect to the rule, okay, with respect to the process. Of the difference process, okay, of the different process. Who is asking the question? Okay, thank you. Okay, does that answer your question? Okay. So there are kind of random variables you update at each time. So let me see if I'm clear here. So this quantity is the total excess selection bias, and so that's just the average. Divide this quantity by n. Okay, just divide this quantity by n. So that's the average excess selection bias. Okay. So again, later on, when you see this notation beta, that means excess selection bias, the average one. Okay, so just selection bias there. So I'm going to start talk about these two designs, but I'm talking about the bias cone design with imbalance tolerance now, but that is motivated by the first work due to Brad Afferen, 1971. So Afferen has this idea, okay, whenever the absolute difference is zero, meaning it's very balanced, you toss a fail coin to allocate the next two treatments. Okay. Whenever the absolute difference is positive, you toss a P coin. This P is less than 1/2. So you allocate the more frequently chosen treatment with this probability. So that will introduce balance to the allocation. And this design is denoted by bias BCD, bias coin design. The parameter you can control is P. Okay. So this P is fixed, okay, through the allocation, throughout the allocation. There's another design due to source and rule, and they call big stick design. Okay. I don't know why they call this. That might have some particular meaning. So under this design, you choose a prescribed imbalance tolerance, B positive. whenever the imbalance is within this tolerance, you toss a fail coin, toss a fail coin. Once the absolute difference touch that tolerance, you say, I'm not going to tolerate anymore, you make a deterministic assignment. So they make a deterministic selection. Okay. So I try to kind of combine these two designs, synthesize these two designs, and at the same time generalize two designs together. I call the bias cone design with imbalanced tolerance, okay, with the kind of with that big stick. Okay. So here P could be any number between 0 and less than equal to 1/2. And this imbalanced tolerance, any positive numbers greater than equal to 1. So it's the synthesis in the generalization of the bias cone design and the big stick design. So here is the rule. Here's the rule. Okay. Whenever there's no difference at all, you flip a fair coin. Okay. If the net difference is negative, it's negative. So that means, if this is negative, it means the first treatment is assigned less frequently so far. Okay. So you assign the second treatment with smaller probability. And the first treatment will get higher probability to be assigned next. Okay. Once the net difference touch this boundary, this imbalance tolerance, and you don't want to tolerate anymore, so you assign the first treatment with a deterministic selection. Okay. And same was here. So actually, the bias cone design is a special case for this. When you take a B between 0 and 1/2, okay, and there's no imbalance tolerance at all. Okay. The big stick design is a special case of this because you take the coin to be a fair, and you choose a finite imbalance tolerance, B. Okay. Yes, please. Right. Debatable point that when you touch the boundary, what you want to do, right? So I'm trying to make this simpler, trying to say make a deterministic selection. Okay. So definitely you can modify this a little bit. Okay. Modify this a little bit. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. This is very simple rule based on the allocation imbalance status. Okay. And there should be much more complicated than this. Okay. So I'm trying to analyze this bias cone design with imbalance tolerance. So under this design, there are two parameters to control. There's a bias cone and the imbalance tolerance. The absolute difference, Dn, is a Markov chain on the state space 0, 1 through B, and with the following probability transition function. Okay. So I'm drawing the picture here. Here's the bias cone design with imbalance tolerance. This is net difference, okay, and you can see is the 0 is jumping to 1. I think I'm not right, so jumping to 1 with probability 1, right, with probability 1. So this is not right, okay, it should be 1, okay. And after that, from state 1 to state 2, this probability will be less than 0.5, okay. So this is 1. It has less probability of moving to the right. Okay, it has more probability moving to the left. to the center. So this is the net difference. If you take the absolute value, that becomes this process only on 0 through B. So that's the transition probability matrix. So it's very easy to see the stationary distribution. Okay. And this is a harder problem, find a high order transition probability in a very nice closed form. So that's the high order transition probability from stages L jump to M in J steps. You have this formula. And Colin and MacGregor, they find the formula for device coin design. When B tends to infinity. And actually this sum can be written as a Riemann sum. And for the device coin design, you can see an integral form here. Okay. Where those phi KL, phi KM are trig polynomials here. Okay. And they are eigenvectors of that transition matrix. Okay. This is the second design, Aaron Fest Earn Design. I'm going to call EUD, okay, EUD, Aaron Fest Earn Design. And the only parameter to control is the number of balls of each type, W. Okay. So an urn initially contain W type 1 balls and W type 2 balls. A ball is randomly selected. The selection of type I balls corresponding to the selection of the ice treatment. So I go 1, 2. Instead of replacing the chosen ball back to the urn, we add one ball of the opposite type into the urn. So repeat this operation at each trial. The chance of selecting treatment 1 or 2 is proportional to the number of balls in the urn. So once that ball is chosen, and it's more frequently now, so you put an opposite ball into the urn, that will increase the probability of selecting the other treatment. So the balance is introduced through this way. Okay. Any questions? So that big W, N sub I, be the number of type I balls in the urn at time N. And it can be seen that the difference, actually, the net difference process is the difference between the initial number of balls for type 1 minus the number of balls of type 1 at time N. Okay. And under this design, the selection rule can be specified as this. Okay. And if you look at this, first, the selection probability is proportional to the number of balls in the urn. Right? So this is the number of balls for type 1, this number of balls for type 2. Okay? And based on this, it can be represented by this way. Okay? So basically, the selection rule is updated by the difference process. Any questions here? So when the difference is 0, it will be half-half. Okay, we have half. So under this Ehrenfest urn design, the absolute difference, Dn, again, is a Markov chain on the state space 0, 1 through W, with reflecting variables 0 and W. And it has the following transition probability matrix. See, I'm not right here. I don't know why I'm writing this here. No, I think I'm right here. Okay. I'm confusing myself with this process and that process. Okay. So this is net difference. It could be go there, 1/2 probability, going there, 1/2 probability. But here's the absolute difference process, so that'll go here for 1. Okay. So maybe I'm not right. I was okay first. So I think here's 1/2. Okay. And here's 1. Okay. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so this is the absolute difference process. Okay, so state 0, 1 through W. And state 0, 1 through W. So the probability of jumping from 0 to 1 would be 1. Okay, so this one would be 1. And that's the rest. Okay. So you can see this probability is gradually decreasing, okay, linearly. And here it's gradually increasing linearly. Under this design, this is the stationary distribution. Okay, not hard to find. And again, the harder problem is to find the high order transition probability, exact formula at time n. So that's the high order transition probability at time n. And those are the eigenvectors of the transition matrix, and actually those are the eigenvalues, kind of eigenvalues. And those eigenvectors actually are the coefficient of the 2 W degree Kraushak polynomial, okay, defined this way. Just to make a summary of these two designs. So this is the Bayes Cohen design with imbalance tolerance. You can see this is the net difference. Okay, and this is a deterministic selection. Okay, it's also deterministic selection here, and it's jumped then flat here, and then when the difference is 0, and you flip a fail coin, okay, and then again flat here, okay, and this is 0 there. So for the Ehrenfest urn, this is the net difference. Okay, you can see the allocation probability is changing gradually, linearly. Okay. So that's that's the essential difference between these two designs. Okay. So I would say maybe Bayes-Cohen design with imbalance tolerance is more jumpy. Okay. Jump. And this is a gradually change. Okay. Gradually change. So I'm come to analyzing these two designs. Okay, I'm trying to analyze the randomness, balance, and talking about the power. Okay. So under the Bayes-Cohen design with imbalance tolerance, this delta n would be the selection bias, would be the average selection bias. Okay. And you can see when n is large, it converges to this quantity. So that depends on p, depends on the tolerance you're choosing. And for the Ehrenfest-Urn design, the selection bias converges to this quantity. Okay. So let me show you a graph of this function. Okay. Certainly, when b is large, then the selection bias will be smaller, right? It will be smaller because the boundary is bigger. Okay. You try to avoid the chance of making a deterministic selection. Okay. And also, when p is close to 0.5, and you have less selection bias at the same time. And so this is a very simple plot. Okay. Just and this is your p coin. When p tends to 0.5, it's more unbiased, and you can see the selection bias is lower. Okay. On the same time, along this axis, the tolerance b. Okay, I'm choosing 6. Okay. And again, when imbalance tolerance is big, and the selection bias tends to low, so you can see this is the corner to get the lowest value here. So I might try to use that probability later here. Okay, so this selection bias is decreasing as p increases. Okay, so the selection bias is decreasing as p increases. Okay. So for the Ehrenfest urn design, okay, when you put a lot of balls initially, and that will make more randomness, put more randomness into the allocation system. So we expect when W is bigger, the selection bias will be smaller. Okay, but this is a function of W only. So this is very easy to see. That's a decreasing function, okay, of W. Here is the balance property. Okay. So under the bias coin design with imbalance tolerance, the imbalance, imbalance converge to this quantity. Okay. So we expect when b is large, will be more imbalance. Okay, there's a trade-off between randomness and imbalance. When you have a large, sufficient random, then you might introduce, this allocation might be more imbalanced. And when p is close to 0.5, and this number might be larger too, okay? So you have more random allocation, makes the imbalance large. And here's the graph. So when p is close to 0.5, the imbalance is higher. Okay. Same wise, when the imbalance tolerance is big, the imbalance is higher too. Okay. So I will use this property here. The imbalance quantity for the bias coin design is increasing as p increases. Okay. Do you have any questions? And for the Ehrenfest urn design, when W is bigger and there will be more imbalance, this quantity will be increased. This function will be increased as a function of W. Okay. The question is, which design would be better by comparing selection bias by comparing the randomness property and the imbalance property? That's the question I want to answer right now. And so I'm asking which design is better. Okay. So how do I compare these two designs in terms of that two criteria, randomness and balance? this is what I'm trying to do. Okay. This is the selection bias of Aaron Fine's earn design. If I choose W and B the same, if I choose actually this should be W, I don't see B here. This should be W. Okay, that's the kind of the boundary. So if I choose W and B the same, so they kind of have the same imbalance tolerance on the two sides. Okay. So I fix W and B. Now the parameter to solve is P. I'm trying to find that P that make this two design have the same selection bias. And if you look at the formula of the bias coloring design with balanced tolerance, you will see that's a rational function in terms of P and Q. Okay? So it's not easy to solve. So I solve this P called P star numerically. Okay? I do the same thing for the imbalance, for the imbalance part. Make W and B the same and solve for this P that make two design have the same imbalance. I call that P double star. Okay. So here's my small description here. Okay. W and B are the same. Find the P star. Okay. W and B the same. Find the P double star. Make two design have the same imbalance. Okay. Same balance. So I'm trying to compare this P single star and P double star. Okay, that's what I want to do. Okay. So this is P single star with different choices of WB. This is P double star with the same choice of WB. And this is 0.25, 0.39, 0.25, 0.36, 0.43, 0.40, 0.45, and 0.44. And I see that P single star actually is uniformly larger than P double star, okay? Except in this case they are the same. Okay? So this is my conclusion. Okay? So P single star is no less than P double star. Okay. So I'm going to here. Because this is a function of P will be increasing as P increases, right? Okay. But this P double star is smaller than P single star. So this quantity will be P double star is smaller, so this quantity will be smaller than is that right? Okay. Because P single star is larger than P double star. Okay. And this function is increasing as P increases. Okay. And so this means what? When I choose W and B the same, when I choose P single star, they have the same imbalance, same selection bias. So actually, the EARN model, the RFS EARN model has smaller imbalance than the bias coin design with imbalance tolerance. Okay. So that's the conclusion I can make. Actually, this slide is trying to demonstrate what I just did there. Okay, so that's just what I did over there. So I did this. I don't have a good analytical way to solve P single star and P double star because that's an algebraic system. There's no closed form solution. So I did this by computation. So with the same imbalance tolerance, if P chosen such that both designs have the same level of asymptotical average excess selection bias, the Ehrenfest-Ehren design has a smaller imbalance than the Weiss-Cohen design with imbalance tolerance. Okay. So in a sense, I prefer this because with the same selection bias, this provides more balance to the allocation.
Were you also surprised that actually how close they actually were, though?
Yeah, they have.
In that table, that's
right. Surprising
to me. So you think
the
almost
the same. Almost the same. Okay. So, James, can you elaborate your question one more time? Okay.
Well, I would have thought that the Ehren design would perform better.
Will work better.
Yeah. You would assume it
would
work a lot better.
Yeah, okay.
How close they are.
The last 5 minutes will be on the power analysis. Okay, with the power analysis. I'm going to give you a very simple example and demonstrate my main idea here. Okay. So this is very simple setup. Okay. Think about randomized controlled trial. Subjects come sequentially, and there are this many subjects, which N sub C is for the control, and N sub T is the number for the treatment group. Okay. And X1 through X sub N sub C, independent normal with mean sub C, and by taking this one. Okay. And same wise for the treatment group. So we want to test they have the same mean versus the treatment has larger mean. Okay? There is a treatment effect. Okay? So this is alpha level test. Okay? This is alpha level test. Okay? So if this is larger than that number, you reject, otherwise you do not reject. Okay. This alpha level test has the following power function based on this test. Okay. So you can see I'm writing this power function of the parameter conditional given the allocation status, Okay. Suppose there are 20 observations totally, and I'm just find this number, and for this observed value, under the simple random sampling design, okay, if each allocation is 50-50%, the probability to get the difference 0 is 0.176. The probability to get difference by 2 is this probability. Okay. And before this observed value, and you compute the different p-value, right, and you can see there's a 0.5% cutoff here. Okay. So for 5% level test, you can detect the treatment effect only when this occur, And but this occur with the probability about under 50%. I might save this a little bit. So let me go to this Weiss-Cohen design. Just try to compare the perfect simple random sample design with the Weiss-Cohen design. And with the Weiss-Cohen design, the probability of making 0 and 2, the chance is much, much higher. It's much, much higher. Okay. So the 5% level test can detect the treatment effect. We'll have this probability. We'll have this probability. So different randomization may generate the same treatment assignment with different likelihood. Okay. So say, under the Bayes Cohen design, you can give a equal allocation with this probability. Okay. And under simple random sample design, the equal allocation will have a smaller probability. Okay. So before we carry out the randomization and collect data, how do we give an overall assessment of the power of an inference procedure under the given randomization? Under the given randomization. So this is my main point. So I'm going to treat the power function as the conditional probability of rejecting the null hypothesis given on the realized treatment assignment n sub c and n sub t. So this is under the simple random sampling. The overall power function is that power given this allocation multiplied by the chance of seeing this allocation. Okay. So that's the power function. Under the Bayes Cohen design, the overall power function of the alpha level test will be this times just do the same thing but with different probability of the allocation. Okay. So I give very simple comparison here. My end talk here. Okay. So here's the plot of the power function with 20 observations. I'm selecting this Bayes Cohen to be 1/3. And they don't differ a lot. Okay. This top one, the dark one, is the Bayes Cohen design. Okay. And the gray one is the simple random sampling design. So the Bayes Cohen design makes equal allocation more likely, and its uniform power against this mu will be the difference of the two hypothesized means. Okay. So the Bayes Cohen design makes the allocation more equally likely, and it has more power. Okay. It has more power in this case. I might stop here, and I will try to answer questions if I can.